touch but don't
tell. Blog Talk Radio.
But my body tells me yes.
The victim has become the victimizer. Now the kid loves it. You have your shirt off. Like, this whole thing is crazy. Tiffany Haddish should get it too, because it's not like she wasn't in these scenes. She's probably filming this shit. She's probably in the cut watching all this shit go down. She is just as guilty. The phone lines is open too. Let me play the rest of this. And the phone lines is open. I would love for y'all to call in and give me y'all fucking thoughts for this fuck shit. And he ends it with, watch who you leave your kids with, as that was something to say, oh, this was just an awareness. No, nigga, you enjoyed that shit, brother. You enjoyed this. The phone lines is open. Listen, very fucking disgusting. And let me just put this up again, because I don't want to get in trouble, even though it's on everybody else's platform. I have to say this. Fair use excerpts of copyright material made under certain circumstances be quoted verbatim for purposes such as criticism, news reporting, teaching, and research without the need for permission for, excuse me, or payment to the copyright holder. Fair Use Act, I am protected under. I am complying with all the YouTube guidelines and terms and conditions. Anyway, let's get right to this shit right here, man. He should get fucking beat up. Tiffany Haddish, they both should be canceled. This is most importantly why we have to protect our fucking children. This is why you don't even want to leave your kids with anybody. You never know who we're doing. It's always going to be somebody that's close to you. I was looking at the Natasha K shit with Jessica Reed last night. I'm going to play just a smidgen of it. Respect Natasha K. That right there was kind of crazy. Like, the way she was crying in there, like, you could tell that was a lot of pain. She was touched by her godbrother, somebody that her mother felt comfortable with leaving her there after she got touched. My home god brother, she was the age of 5. When she was like 15, that's what Charlemagne raped her, basically. Date raped her. Oh, well, not date rape. That's what she said. Not date rape. There was a dating. And he basically did what he did to her. Her mom, after knowing what was going on or whatever, told her to go back up to New York, to go to her godmother, where, basically, where her son molested Jessica Reed. Come to find out, Jessica Reed's mother was touched by her own, somebody in her family, something like that, because it's kind of vaguely coming to me now. But you see how this is a trickle-down effect that's in our community? So we have a crazy way to suppress the shit that we're going through. She could have protected Jessica Reed a lot after she told her what happened to her being touched. See, the mother didn't know how to deal with it. So I'm coming to you right now, 323. Give me 1 second. We have to find a way to protect these kids the best way we could, because the way we express what's going on with each other is not helping the next potential victim. We just suppressing it, don't know how to express it. Well, they don't know how to express it. Excuse me, they may not put weak, because that never happened to me, but I'm sorry if it happened to anybody else. Anyway, I'm not going to talk your heads off. The phone lines is 319-527-6193. We got area code 323. What you want, goddammit? What's your thoughts?
Yo, Mike, peace, man.
What up?
Yeah, man, that really disturbing, man, you know, because I'm a father, you're a father, and that shit ain't funny at all. But you know they're coming for him.
Right.
You already know they're coming for him. You know, all those jokes they was making about Lizzo and stuff like that. So, you know, now they're trying to get some old profile. That shit happened like 10 years ago, I believe. But, you know, that shit is disturbing because that shit ain't funny at all. You got people in real life who are going through that. You know what I mean? And even family member who child molested their own family, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So that video right there is kind of I never saw that video either. So this is my first time seeing it. So I was kind of like, wow. I was shocking because I didn't even know he had that video, though. But, yeah, that shit's disturbing. That shit is not even funny at all. When you see that shit, you don't even want to see that shit no more.
Real.
You see what I'm saying, though? But you know they're coming for him anyway. So you already know, you know how the game goes.
Yeah, it's the smear campaign. So this is the smear campaign. There's many levels to how they humiliate you and, like, basically destroy your whole career. This is just phase
right,
one.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but this is my question, though. The mother allowed, because they're friends. You know that, right?
Right.
Stephanie and she know the mother. They're friends. So I'm like,
right.
Why would you allow your kid to just do that? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So the mother's responsible for that, too. Because, you know what I'm saying, you can't just blame everybody. What about the mom? Like, the mom allowed their kids just to do that, you know? So it's kind of, that shit's a mess.
Absolutely. And she needs to go to jail. That's why, this is what I'm saying. I feel this was just to get a buck. This is just to get some money because she know how this fucking industry is. And
well,
even...
Let me pull you
up. Go ahead,
Ken. So let me pull you on some real shit, though. Like about probably like a couple years ago, she already tried to get some money. You see what I'm saying? So this is not the first time. Like she already went like before, but the kid was minor. So now the kids are old enough. So they're going to use the kids be like, okay, I'm damaged now. You know, I can't see that video. You see what I'm saying? So she already tried before, but she got money. So now
right. She's
going to use the kid because they grown to go to court and try to get some bread out of that. So it's all about the bread, though. See what I'm saying? Because before when that shit happened, nobody got social media. So, you know, people going, you know, talk about all over the place, though. But she already tried it before. She ain't got no money. So now she's going to do it again because the kids are old enough so they can speak for themselves. All that shit's a setup. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, but end of the day, my piece was, that shit's not even funny. So, because that shit happened in real life. You know what I mean? Like, you got family members, you know, friends and people who went through that shit when they were kids, like my uncle molested me and shit. So when you see that, you're like, that shit ain't funny at all. So you got to be careful sometimes when you make videos. Like when you're in the industry, you got to be careful because anytime you go against the power, they're going to come for you. They're going to do the research and be like, okay, you're talking too much. We're going to try to fuck you over.
Right. Yep.
Yeah,
go ahead, King. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, though. So, yeah, that shit is crazy, though.
It's just even people that's probably in here right now, they could be looking at this and having a flashback right now. Like, literally right this second from seeing this, whatever that happened to them in their life at a particular time when they were small or whatever that time was, that shit is affecting them at this moment. I'm pretty sure.
That's fair.
I hope it's not, but I could be wrong, but it could be people right in here watching this shit right now crying or feeling some kind of way right now, bringing up old fucking memories, and they want to make a joke in a skit.
Hey, yo, that's some real shit, though, because I never thought about that. You're right, though. Going back to the same thing I was telling you before, you got people who went through that shit with family, so they watch that video, they're like, yo, they're making fun of that shit, but people going through pain. Because even though you could be a grown person now, you're still traumatized for whatever happened when you was a child.
Right. Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, they're coming for him, though. I mean, I don't know if you're going to go to jail, but I know they're coming for him. You know what I mean? So, you already know what it is, though. But, yo, King, man, peace. You already know, man.
All right, thank you for your call, King. Peace.
All right.
If anybody else want to call, the number is 319-527-6193. Now, I could definitely understand this is a very, very sensitive subject at the moment. This is why I wanted to touch on this first and move on to another subject, because I know this is almost like peeling a scab on an old wound and just pouring alcohol in it with salt and, you know what I mean, acid. You dig what I'm saying? So for those who may have went through something, I can only sympathize with your reaction and how you're feeling at the moment. You know, this just shows you that the main focal point should be on protecting your children. You know, at the end of the day, Aries is a grown man. Tiffany is a grown man. They did what they did. They're going to suffer those consequences. But the main important thing is the kids, right? What they did was disgusting. You can hold that against them. The main ingredient, the main focal point should be on saving your kids. Speak to your kids. Check them. Check their private area. You're doing it out of love. I did that with Amari a couple of times. You know what I mean? Let me see. Period. Fuck that. I know what my intentions are. That's the thing. The underlying intentions, what people have to worry about. Because I know what my intentions were. Protect my child. You understand what I'm saying? Speak to your kids. Even that's why, like, children going to daycare, even when they're, because, you know, they have daycare for kids that's, like, you know, just a few months and, you know what I mean, 18 months, whatever, when they're young, they can't talk. I don't trust any of that shit. But sometimes life throw you a curveball. You may need that help, so as there's going to have to be a babysitter, this, that, and third, or whatever. You just can't trust nobody. I don't care about this dude smear campaign. But this just lets me know how he's trying to fit in into this Hollywood thing. Because they felt this was comfortable for him to, like, I mean, he's not even in Hollywood, if I'm not mistaken. But he still has some connections because, you know, he had his tour dates or whatever. You know what I mean? I don't know. They feeding him from a long spoon. I don't know what it is. But could it have been, since you've been in the industry, you know how this shit is, why would you make this a skit? Something psychologically is not there. Maybe it's something that he has done for him to feel comfortable doing that, family. Maybe he's one of those. Feel me? I'm going to say allegedly, though. But could he be playing himself? Who knows? Maybe somebody may come up with a story and say, hey, this motherfucker touched me before. I remember because of those eyes. I don't know. Again, the number is 319-527-6193. Let me look at the chat real quick, because I'm pretty sure some of y'all have something to say, and I know that, some of y'all may not want to speak on it, you know what I mean? And I was that parent. My first job after having youth was in daycare until I don't have to work no more. I feel you. Aries forgot that Lizzo has a lot of white liberal fans that will defend her. Yeah, yeah. And see, sometimes when you're outspoken like that, you know, shit come back to bite you in the ass. And that's exactly what just happened to him. You know, it's coming, look, the chick is coming back home to roost, man. And, yeah, and I really didn't, I have to look more into that, story, though. You know what I mean? But I feel like it says they denied it, right? Hold on. I'm looking at an article real quick. I may share my screen in a few minutes. The comedian was served with a lawsuit filed in Los Angeles by the plaintiffs, identified the lawsuit as Jane Doe and John Doe, who they say Tiffany Haddish through their mother, who said they knew Haddish through their mother. But Haddish was a guest speaker at the comedy club camp Jane Doe attended. Haddish told the 14-year-old Jane Doe that she had the perfect role for her in the summer of 2013, according to the complaint. Hold on, this shit is hot.
So, you're at the age now where you may start feeling certain.
Hold on now. A lot of this stuff just popping up, so forgive me, right? And, damn it. All right, according to the complaint, Haddish told Jane Doe's mother a redacted and completely minimal explanation of the skit, according to the suit. Jane Doe, when Jane Doe and Haddish went to the studio to film the skit, the lawsuit claims Jane Doe was shown a video of two adults of, I don't even know how to pronounce this word, whoa, just whatever, just shoving as much sandwich as they could in their mouths and getting towards each other, respective mouths. The two were moaning and making sexual noises as they both ate the sandwich in a manner that stimulated a sex act, according to the lawsuit. Spears told Jane to mimic what was seen in her in the video, and Haddish advised her how to do it, the lawsuit alleges. Jane Doe said she did what she was told and so she could go home. The following year, the lawsuit claims Haddish offered to book, arrange, and film the 7-year-old John Doe for a Nickelodeon sizzle reel at Spears' home. They allegedly stripped him down to his underwear for a video, The Mind of a Pedophile. That's fucking crazy. So, you lied. So, you made this lady give up her child. First of all, she should have went. Okay, yeah? Wow, I want to be there. I want to see what my son is going to be around. Okay? Getting too comfortable with people. I'd be like, oh, yeah? All right, let me get dressed too. So you lied, and you had this person's son stripped down and all this shit? Nah, man, y'all need to go to jail for that. But according to the lawsuit, the video shows Spears lusting over the 7-year-old child and molesting him, as well as performing sexualized acts throughout the video. The complaint claims Haddish was present during the filming of the entire video. We know she was right there, knew exactly what was going on. John Doe called his mother crying after the filming. Wow. The lawsuit claims, saying he no longer wanted to film. The lawsuit claims the mother of the children reached out to Spears shortly after, wanting to see the footage. Spears claimed he had not edited the footage and will get it to her when it's edited, the complaint alleges. A few days later, Spears allegedly said John Doe was uncooperative and the footage was unusable and deleted it. That complaint alleges. However, the video was showcased on the popular comedy site Funny or Die. The site told ABC News that the content appeared on its website as user-generated content. What the fuck that's supposed to mean? You see how they always come up with these terms and we're just supposed to go along with it. User-generated content. Okay. It was removed in 2018 after the site became aware of its existence. Funny or Die found this video absolutely disgusting and would never produce such content. The website said in a statement to ABC News, we were not involved in the conceptualization, development, funding, or production of this video. According to the complaint, the family was made aware of the video's existence due to a 2018 box-up column on Spears' past controversies. The lawsuit claims the mother of Jane and John Doe tried to settle the issue with Spears in the past without proper legal representation. Okay. The alleged settlement does not apply to the plaintiff due to several legal issues, including a lack of adequate representation for a minor in court, as well as the agreement was never presented to a superior court, the complaint states. Spears publishes forward his attorney's statement on the alleged allegations to ABC News, saying he isn't going to fall for any shakedown. Haddish's attorney calls the allegations meritless. Meritless? What the fuck is, what you call that video? That was, it has so much merit to it. Anyway, in conclusion, it's almost done. The plaintiff's mother has been trying to assert these bogus claims against Mrs. Haddish for years. Miss Haddish, not Mrs. For several years. Haddish's attorneys told ABC News in a statement. The statement from Haddish's attorneys continued. Every attorney who has initially taken on her case, if there were several, ultimately dropped the matter once it became clear that the claims were meritless and Miss Haddish would not be shaken down. Now, the mother has her adult daughter representing herself in the lawsuit. The two of them will together face consequences of pursuing this frivolous action. So that's the words of the lawyer. You see how lawyers are professional liars. They are professional liars. They know what goes on in this industry. A lot of these, I'm really going to try to tread carefully too, these politicians, these lawmakers, a lot of these dudes, I will say allegedly, according to legend, we got to be PC over a certain now, they are into this stuff. And we already know about NAMBLA. They trying to make that legal. All of this is not a game. They probably have this shit in their fucking room to get aroused. This shit is crazy. They try to make this a normal act. They had seminars with this shit, y'all. I'm pretty sure y'all seen this shit already. You don't know they have seminars? People was going across country talking about lusting over a child is somewhat normal. Do y'all understand that? Look it up. I'm not playing this shit on here. But they are trying to legalize pedophilia. If y'all don't think so, look it up yourself. I'm not doing that shit on here. But it's very serious. You know? I want to take some more calls, man. I don't really want to play this again. Let me go to, hold on. I want to take some, oh, shit, that's me. Hold on, let me go to, hold on, I'm on another screen. Let me go to Tasha K and Jessica. Hopefully, she don't have no problem. I'm only going to play just a little bit. Nah, you know what? I don't want to play that. I don't want to trigger because I'm up there. I'm cooking me something to eat. And when she talked about how her father died and how that cry, like, that shit fucked me up. I damn near start crying. I'm like, God damn, girl. You know, and I'm not trying to make light of it. It's just so much, like, when you get to see what a person went through their whole story, you begin to see and understand. Like, they go into, let me be careful, too, with the Charmaine thing. They're going to protect them, family. Ooh, let me go to this. Hold on. Let me go to my Instagram real quick. Please, everybody, make sure you hit the like button. Please, if you love this, show some love and donate to the platform. Gladly be appreciated, right? Definitely appreciate you in advance. Where we at? These niggas right here. Hold on, man. Ooh, excuse me, sorry. Check these niggas out. Yeah. Okay. They are protected. This is from Charlamagne today. 7 hours ago, right? I mean, look, you want to be a couple so bad. Here's the thing. What I look at this, you see, you got Swizz Beatz laughing and Sofa Stone. To me, this is so much of an inner circle thing in this entertainment that they know exactly what's going on. It's a small club. People talk. And people keep each other's secrets, man. I am very convinced that they had done some things, man. I'm very convinced. And again, I had choked no joke. I have a lot of interviews under my belt, and I'm trying to add more. I'm going to add more to my archives. But I did an interview with Choke No Joke, and I should recap that. We should watch that again. But he said he was with Charlamagne when he got that text from his boss. What's the name again? But anyway, somebody put the name in there. Basically, for the Breakfast Club, I forgot the name or whatever. Y'all put it in there anyway. And the text was, because he got a text and Choke No Joke seen Charlamagne's face. It had some kind of shock to it or disdain to it. And he was like, yo, what's wrong? He showed him the text, and his boss said, I can't wait to basically give you fellatio. But they said it he said the regular word, like, how, you know what I mean? So he's been there ever since. He's evidently, something had to happen, because he's been at this job for over 10 plus years, making some of the most questionable remarks. When Dennis Rodman was there, look at that interview. Look at that interview. I'm almost convinced him and Dennis Rodman probably went out for lunch, if you get my drift. And let me just say allegedly. If you watch that interview, just watch some of it. Because the way he was saying things, Dennis Rodman was like, some shit. It's been a minute. But watch that, and you'll understand what the fuck I'm talking about. And Dennis Rodman was on The Breakfast Club. And I'm going to go to another one if I can find it. Like, okay? That's funny, though. It's funny, but there's an underlying thing to it. Now, you see how this stuff is coming out with Jessica Reeve, right? And even though it's his birthday, everything is a sign. It's a message. I think he's saying he's protected. You know what I mean? He is protected. I'm going to go to something else. I'm going to go to something else. Hold on. I got to find it, though. I got it. Where they was talking about them being on top of each other and stuff like that. They definitely did something with each other. Like, there's questionable things that happened between these two. You know? So my whole point of me saying that is, I commend Jessica for coming out, Jessica Reed, and doing this, and now you get to really understand, like, her whole story, and I respected it, you know what I'm saying? However, the way this industry is, they protect each other, they keep each other's secrets. They are going to protect this dude. Charlamagne Tha God is protected by the industry, y'all. I hope, because if that's my daughter, my family, anybody, they should see justice for being taken advantage of. He gave her a drink, and once she got up, because she seen her cousin throwing up, she got up and her body collapsed. Like, they gave her some kind of drink, and basically took full advantage of her in a dark room. Charlamagne picked up and put on the bed and got on top of her and did what he did to her. She was frightened. She was scared. Like, that's something that, you know, sometimes, that's what I'm saying. Your past come back to bite you. I can't find it. I got so much shit to say. But he was talking they was talking some real fruity shit, like they was, like they did each other. It's something ain't right, man. Something's definitely not right over there. I would like to know if anybody going to call in. I would like to know your thoughts, man, because I know this is a sensitive subject. He said Tasha K, a cease and desist. Yeah. Again? I remember the first time, he did the same thing with Star. Now, I don't want to speak about goddamn Star, man, I was mad uncomfortable when I got on his show, man. So I'm going to have to redeem myself. Alicia Keys told them their secrets were safe. Yeah, Alicia Keys, at some point, you could tell that when you look in her eyes, she looked very lost. Like, the window to her soul was closed. It was like it was nothing there. That industry is something else. Rest in peace to, what's his name, Cappy something. He exposed a lot, man, and then they talking about he killed himself. Nah, he told you. If something happened to me, I didn't kill myself. You know? But he's going to use his muscle to basically, like, let this shit blow over. You know, it's this industry is full of gatekeepers, like powerful gatekeepers, man. And they protect their own. They protect their own. And it's sad to say, I hope Jessica gets justice. However, I highly doubt it, man. I highly doubt it. And it's fucked up to say, but I really highly doubt it, because that boy Charlamagne is protected. He done part, let me say allegedly. I don't want to say things that you know, I may not know about. But there's a lot of, I see you 704, hold on. There's a lot of things, man, that has been said that you just know that he has participated in a lot of things. You can just tell by the things that he does, the things that he says, and how he does it. It proves to you that he's showing that feminine side of him a lot. Crawling on the floor and shit, crawling the envy on the floor. You seen that shit? That shit ain't no joke. And nothing funny about shit like that. Get the fuck out of here, man. Anyway, 704, keeping it raw, man. You're on the air. What you want, goddammit?
Well, I was just wanting to say that I agree with you. You know what I'm saying? I stopped looking at the Breakfast Club a long time ago, you know what I'm saying, because of the fruity stuff that they be saying, you know what I'm saying? And like, real men ain't going to play like that, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
Say half the stuff that him and Envy be saying, you know what I mean? And not only that, like how you say that they're trying to normalize that. I remember last year, they passed a law in California, you know what I'm saying, like, that you could be 10 years older than the person. Like, say if you're 21 or whatever, you could be having sex with an 11-year-old. That's my word. And I'm like, are you serious? So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy out here.
Yeah.
And you see how Tiffany be getting all these, she gets all these roles, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that. But I don't know if you remember, you know what I'm saying, whenever Cat Williams, whenever he was on a, he was on some radio show, and he was talking, he was like, yeah, he was like, well, we've never heard her stand up and do no kind of comedy for an hour straight, you know what I'm saying, this and that, you know what I'm saying? So, and as for Ari, like, ain't nobody checking for him either, you know what I'm saying? So hopefully if they don't get blackballed, then you already know, you know what I'm saying? But I already think, you know what I'm saying, like, Tiffany, you know what I'm saying, she probably in it too, in a little secret society, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, from what they say, like, that was before she even got big, you know what I'm saying, before she even blew up. So maybe that's what opened up the door.
Right, and if you can't remember, I think when she said the story, she was kidnapped for a few days, and they did what they did with her. So she should know better. But see, you gotta look. The devil need more souls, man. He's never false. You gotta bring him something. You gotta bring him something. I think. Tiffany Haddish is going to be protected more than Ari Spears. They're going to hang him out.
Yeah.
I think Tiffany's going to be Ari Spears. Yeah, I think that's a wrap for him. Word. Anything else, sweetie?
No, not really. I guess that's it. So enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, sweetie. Peace.
All right.
All right. I want to say thank you, Maritza. You can kiss my ass. And RX, the ruler, thank you for the donation as well. You put something in here for us to play this video. I don't know what video that is. So if you're still in the room, in the chat, what video that you're talking about? Because I can't click on the link of that video. So I don't know, but thanks. All right. You said, guess who's going to jail tonight? Kanye West. Aries, ain't that big pussy played the pedo out. Wait, played the pedo his out of there. Tiffany Rose probably going to be reduced to lifetime. I mean, Tiffany Haddish, she's okay. Look, because when people give their opinion on a certain individual, if you like them or not, you become a hater. So I have to be careful. So I like to make sure I say certain things before I say what I really want to say. I'm not a hater. Get your shit, get your money, you know what I mean? Take care of your family. I respect all of that. But she's not a good actor to me. You know, she's too ratchet, like too extra, extra. Like she's too extra, extra. Read all about it. Too much. And it ain't that serious. You know what I mean? And definitely her jokes is, her stand-up is like, it's like her acting. It's not that good. You know? So what else are you doing to keep these roles going? Like, there's levels to this shit. You don't have to just be in front of the camera. I mean, that could be your ultimate goal. But a lot of these B-list, C-list, D-list celebrities that you hardly see anymore, but you see them still moving around as if they're in the in crowd or whatever, if you will, because they feed in that machine. You just can't see it. You know what I mean? They still be at those parties, those mansion parties, just like on the shit with the Keenan, Keel Mitchell, when the girl came out, talk about that. He was used. He was rented for Eddie Murphy renting him for for a birthday party, and he had to pick like certain like these little gift boxes, shit, and whatever it is that you open, you have to go into one of these rooms with the key and shit like that. They have these mysterious play games, like some real crazy shit. What was that movie where they had that mansion and they invited people to the mansion or whatever, and they became the hunted, and they had them run out in the woods in the rich, they're basically chased them through the woods and shit like that, because they rented acres of land, so they know that land, and they are well protected, and they go hunt and kill these motherfuckers on their property and shit like that. There's layers to a lot of stuff that's going on, man. Some real psychotic fucking people that they're dealing with. So, and you don't have to be on the screen to stay in the mixed crowd. There's other things that you can do that'll make them right. And the majority of it is going to go against your moral code, your moral compass. You know what I mean? And the people who's really in control is the ones who really like little kids, little children in the same sex. I mean, do what floats your boat, though. Do what floats your boat, but to attack children, like, come on, but who can't speak up for that? That's fucking crazy, man. Is there anybody else that have anything to say on this? Because I really want to get off this subject now. I don't want to talk about this shit no more. To be honest. The lawyers are employed by Hollywood. Absolutely. Eyes Wide Shut, all of that. Yup. No, Tiffany is not funny. She's a mystery worker. Yeah, Marv Albers bit a white woman on the face. He was out of TV for a short, then right back and commentate for NBA games. Still to this day. Yeah. They protect their own, man. And don't forget that a lot of these people go missing on when we have any Super Bowl games. You know, a lot of sex trafficking should be happening. For these Super Bowls, these World Series, these you know what I'm saying? It's a lot that goes on, man. It's so crazy out here. Hollywood fame going to be the downfall for many. I guess that blood oath is real. They have sold their souls to the industry, each and every one of them. Absolutely, man. They definitely sell their souls. So it's like, what would you do for money? Like, would you really go against your moral compass just for some money? Nah, bro. It's a lot of shit going on. Yeah, in the 90s, Eddie Murphy was caught with trans prostitutes who was later found hung in a basement in Baltimore. Man, this shit ain't no joke, man. Hey, look, they said things about Jay-Z. They said things about quite a few people, man. These niggas be liking these females with strong features and real tough hands, thick calf muscles and all types of shit. This industry is crazy. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I'm so kind of unhappy in a way. There's nothing wrong with being around these celebrities. Sometimes you just have to have a strong mind and don't be so lustful and so easily tempted. You know what I mean? You know, like I said, been around people in the industry. You know, my dude, I don't like him, but I love him. He's still around them to this day. I'm not saying that he gets his moral compass because I know him. I highly doubt it. But I've been around quite a few people. I don't want to go down that long road, that long story again, but definitely in the 1990s, like 1999, we was trying to go hard body on this rap and shit. Perform. He did a lot of performances. We was doing it. He ran for Blue Pantrell, Puff. You know, being around a mad rapper, that's the only story I can give because that's we was in that vicinity, man. Like, there. You know, B-Di Angeletti, all that crazy shit, man. And everything happens for a reason, man. It's just that industry, it's scary, man. It's fucked up. Look, even with Michelle Obama, man, they had some things. Ooh, wow. Like, she was, let me say allegedly, a honey trap. A honey trap. It was a lot of whistleblowers that came out and said some things. And I was talking about this shit years ago. I don't even want to talk about it now. I'm not even going to lie. Yo, what's good? My cousin in the building. I see you now, Vaishawn. My cousin Vaishawn. That's my family right there, my blood cousin. I see you, family. What's good, nigga? All right? Shout out to my boy, my cousin Thomas, man. I see you, homie. You know what I mean? But it's definitely a pic with Jay Jazzo and a chick in the front of Jazzo and a trans man parked in front of Jay-Z. Look, I told y'all, look, my cousin G, and he's a real G, right? I told y'all, like, he works for the movie companies, right, where you have to put, no parking on the trees because it has to be reserved for the movie trucks. You know how big and long the movie trucks is? They shooting scenes on blocks and shit like that. You can really get kicked up doing that. Just a lot of time. You have to sleep outside in your car and shit like that. But anyway, he told me this over 20 years ago, so I don't care what nobody say. He told me over 20 years ago. Some of y'all may know me saying the story. A limousine got pulled over in Midtown Manhattan, somewhere in Manhattan. A whole bunch of Thundercats came out. A whole bunch of manly women with strong features, like 214. You know what I mean? Like, these kind of motherfuckers. And Jay-Z came out. You know what I mean? And Jay-Z got out the car. For real. So, hey, it's been rumors. Foxy Brown came out. And let me just say allegedly, but Foxy Brown came out on him. She said she had a threesome with Jay-Z and Wanda from In Living Color. She had a threesome with Jay-Z, and let me say allegedly, but she came out with a book. Why do you think a lot of us didn't really hear about this book? Because who got power? Jigga, what's my motherfucking name? He got power. He can shut you down, nigga. Okay? But she said that he wanted Jamie Foxx to dress up as Wanda. This is from Foxy to the Breakdown. I'm not making this up. But I still have to say allegedly for my channel's sake. Coming out looking like Jatara, Panthro, Snarf, Wally Kid, and Wally Cat. This is for my old school niggas. Looking like Thundercats. Bitches with thick calf muscles and strong features and that could punt a fucking football, son. These kind of bitches. If I believe my cousin, I believe him. That's crazy. And had two apartments, if I'm not mistaken. And I mean, I'm gonna keep saying allegedly, but he did live with a guy who was a I think it was a football player, ex-football player, something like that. I don't know. I'm not saying because if you living, if a dude and a dude living together, like something has to be happening. I don't want to just jump the gun, but there's just been a lot of rumors, man. I'm getting on Buster tonight. I'm not forgetting about Buster. Fuck Buster. And I hit up Buster last night on under his videos because he on tour with I sound like a stalker. That man, but he on tour with Nas and Wu-Tang. Niggas need to tell Buster, you know what I'm saying? Like, you want to really disrespect our culture and act like Black Americans don't have no culture when all of y'all stole our culture? I'm not fucking with that. Now, I'm telling y'all, we can't let that go. We can't let it go. If y'all let this shit go, I'm not fucking with y'all, man. I'm not fucking with y'all. If y'all gonna let this nigga go, let this shit go where people feel like they created our culture, our hip-hop, when y'all niggas had nothing to do with doing nothing. If anything, we started. Now it's gonna make a perfect segue. Yeah, let me get off this shit. Fuck Busta. Like, fuck Busta Rhymes. Fuck Busta Rhymes. Let's get to motherfucking Parmesan Victor. Victor Parmesan right here. Check it out.
Puerto Ricans are getting their credit for having an involvement in the creation of hip-hop. And now I think it's only right that a culture that hip-hop has been taking from and feeding off for all these years, the Italian culture, I think some of our guys get some recognition. I mean, you can't talk about hip-hop and graffiti without mentioning Steen, who's the biggest graffiti artist of all time. You really can't talk about early hip-hop parties without talking about Style from Fever Records. I mean, I'm young, but I'm pretty sure there's more guys. If you're more educated than me, drop some names in the comments. But I think it's time that us Italian hip-hop is get the respect that we deserve because, well, like I said before, hip-hop is a New York City street culture, and you can't tell me that Italians ain't on the streets. You can't tell me that. I think it's really cool.
What in the ravioli is this, man? Huh? What in the extra olive oil? Cannoli, is this shit? Would you get your Parmesan cheese in? I love Parmesan. You see what I'm saying? How we got niggas so comfy. Now these garlic eating motherfuckers, and I got respect for some Italian too, so you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, y'all niggas can't jump on our culture either. You see, our culture is up for grabs, y'all. Black Americans, and like I said, I'm not distinguishing myself from anybody, but if y'all gonna come and attack a culture that I love, that I'm a part of, as Black Americans have to literally stand tall because it's like a free for all. Everybody. See, we became so comfortable with sharing. People feel entitled now. When it comes to their culture, let's say Italian culture, will they accept us singing Italian music? I highly doubt it. Will be a pipe bomb in your key ignition. Everybody protect their culture. But us, you're like, hey, come on, man. spit a hot 16. Oh, my God, come on. You with us now. We have gotten too comfortable on sharing something that was a lifestyle. Now people can get rich and live. I used to say, I said this back in the day, so this is my younger self. This is younger Michael or Dorian, as my family called me, Dorian, that I always thought as hip-hop as reparations. This is my younger self. Free money. You may have to sell, you know, some people sell their soul. Excuse me. I was about to say, you might have to sell your soul. No, excuse me. Some do sell their soul or whatever because now these corporations came into it. But only thing you're using is your intellectual property. You're using your mind. You're using your mind for everything else. Why not get money off this shit? If I could put these bars together using my intellectual thought process, nigga, I want to eat. So I always looked at it as reparations. So this is like reparations for everybody to me. Y'all need to thank us for creating what we call hip-hop. This was just a lifestyle, though. And everybody got on board and got too fucking comfortable, family. This should be an outcry because they are trying to take our culture, take credit for it, and scrub us out. The timeline doesn't lie. And they are trying to literally cover up that timeline, too. Busta has waited over 30 years to start talking about Jamaicans created hip-hop. You wasn't saying that shit when you started in 89, 90 with Leaders of the New School. You wasn't talking that shit then. You wasn't talking none of that. You wasn't talking none of that, Busta, until 30-plus years later. Now, you're comfortable. You ate up this culture. Generated wealth for this culture. And now you're taking all the credit. I told y'all, I shouldn't have to go back and break down everything that happened because I did a masterful job with the help of others as well creating videos that proves that none of you niggas, not a Jamaican, not a Puerto Rican, not an Italian, not an Indian, not a Grenadian, none of that shit, not an African, did not have anything to do with creating this culture because this was a lifestyle. None of you had anything to do with the creation. There's a difference between contributing and creating. Y'all look it up yourselves. There's a total fucking difference of creating and contributing. Y'all had some contribution. Y'all had some input. Because of the influence of our creation, family. We have to protect our culture, man. I have to play this again because now these niggas, and look how he's talking. First of all, relax. I'm trying to get worked up. I don't want to get worked up.
Lately that the Latins and the Puerto Ricans are getting their credit for having an involvement in the creation of hip-hop. And now I think it's only right that a culture that hip-hop has been taken from and feeding off for all these years, the Italian culture, I think some of our guys get some recognition. I mean, you can't talk about hip-hop and graffiti without mentioning Sting, who's the biggest graffiti artist of all time. You really can't talk about early hip-hop parties without talking about South from Fever Records. I mean, I'm young, but I'm pretty sure there's more guys. If you're more educated than me, drop some names in the comments. But I think it's time that us Italian hip-hop is get the respect that we deserve because, well, like I said before, hip-hop is a New York City street culture, and you can't tell me that Italians ain't on the streets. Can't tell me that.
These niggas need help, man. These niggas need help. Do anybody have any thoughts on this fuck shit? Do anybody have any thoughts on this bullshit? It's the ones you don't see behind the cameras, directors, and such. Our people can't have nothing. We can't have shit. Prince tried to warn us about what's going on in the industry. Also, Cat Williams and other comedians that played on Saturday Night Live, he refused to wear dresses. All that. But I'm sorry, Italians. Y'all had nothing to do with our fucking creation. A lot of y'all were, because this is a music business. Italians had, it's her birthday. Happy birthday, Ms. Drew. Happy birthday, Ms. Drew. Happy birthday, love. Happy birthday. Salute to my boy, Bamboos in the building. Shout out to Ms. Drew. Much love. Only thing y'all was doing was killing each other, okay, and slicing pizza. And I love pizza. I just had some last night. But as far as having any, nothing. Only thing, I mean, we got influenced by the names, like the Gottis and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Niggas start using their names and, like, Murder, Inc. and stuff like that because gangsters respect gangster shit. You know what I mean? So there was a certain influence of a certain lifestyle because we came from a certain background. Just like Scarface, we was intrigued when we seen Scarface. You know what I mean? That shit gave us an influence or some shit like that. So niggas use certain names or a moniker. But creating hip-hop? Sir, stop. Stop. Go eat a fucking a calzone or what the fuck you call them shits. Stop it. Come on. Get the fuck out of here. Now, in the industry, they had a lot of Italians that controlled the record labels, you know, that had their own record labels because they was the mob had control over damn near everything that involves making money. They was definitely in the industry. They was definitely in boxing. They was definitely in music. They was definitely in Hollywood. They was definitely in the docks and construction. They had their hand in every fucking thing, but not no fucking hip-hop. There's a total fucking difference, man. You had nothing to do. Y'all didn't even fucking like us. Y'all didn't even like us. Nigga, I remember, I'm at the PS95 in Bensonhurst. That's where all the fucking mob Italian kids went to. In Bensonhurst, nigga, that's mob territory. I'm with the PS95 and PS97. Okay? I remember rest in peace Mimi. Me and my boy Mimi, we went to we cut school one day and went to everybody cut to meet up at the school called Booty. Yes, it's called Booty. Not spelled the way how we would spell Booty, but the school's called Booty. Some of y'all Italians that may come across this, I know exactly where the fuck that is. And Bensonhurst. And we just walked to the schoolyard, and the people that's supposed to be there, they wasn't there. So me and Mimi walked back to the hood. And I forgot what street was that. I think that was Avenue U or Avenue T. But I think it was Avenue U. Then we make that left and hit on, make the right on 86th Street. There was a Italian dude in a suit inside of a gray, fancy car. I think not a Lamborghini. I think it was like a Corvette. He was on a cell phone arguing with somebody. He was like, "What the fuck you looking at, fucking nigga? I fucking kill you." And we in Italian territory, like mob territory, get cut up and not found again. And me and Mimi put a little bit more pep in our step. I literally remember that. I can remember that moment because when we got back to the hub, we went to Building 21 and sat in front of Building 21, got some weed. And that you know, when you cut school, you have sometimes you have fun. That was the day where it wasn't even no fun that day. So we cut school for nothing. I still remember that fucking day. That had to be 90 fucking, four? Yeah, had to be. And something like that. It was a very long, we was very young. Anyway, that niggas ain't had shit to do with our fucking shit. Exactly, Thomas. You know what I mean? We've been spray painting trades and all that shit. Nigga, even DJ K Slay, he was one of the, come on, the history of DJ K Slay, rest in peace to the God. Yeah, the score, Booty, that was, y'all funny, son. All right, we got a caller, man. Every call 757, what's up, man?
What's good, man? It's Mega, yo.
What's good, Mega?
Chilling, man. I just wanted to pretty much speak on, man, a little bit about the, we got to be real with ourselves, man. We it's sad that we sitting here complaining and fussing about who created it, man. In reality, Everybody know who created it for real. But like us with everything, what do we do with anything we create? We sell it. Because, my nigga, we only care about a dollar, my nigga. Listen, bro, we don't own shit. It's like the way I look at niggas arguing about this hip-hop shit is just like niggas beefing over blocks. It's the same thing. Niggas don't own the block. Niggas just complaining and beefing over and killing each other over. We do the same thing. Like, my nigga, as long, like I said, in reality of life, we created most of everything except the dollar and the patent. We ain't create the dollar in the patent, yo. So therefore, as long as they have something that whatever, no, like I said, the value is created by the dollar. So no matter what's created, when somebody else puts a value on what you create, you might as well say they own it. We don't own shit, my nigga. We just want to check. We just want to dance around and look fresh, man. Look fresher than the people who live right next to us who can't look this fresh. That's all we want to do, man. We don't want to own nothing. We don't want to run shit. We don't want to control shit. We don't want value. Nigga, we just want to check because nobody else had one, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, man. We don't own shit. Like, what do it matter who created something? I mean, when especially we know. And, I mean, you know, y'all from the source. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody know who created it. And then, like I say this, for the Jamaicans and for the Puerto Ricans, if Jamaicans had so much influence on hip-hop, or Puerto Ricans has so much influence on hip-hop, we're talking about two cultures that got their own language. Why is the dominant language of hip-hop
English?
Latin American English, mainly slang. Why is not patois? Why is not Spanish? And they have music in Spanish. So if y'all were the ones who created this shit, why is it not in y'all dominant language? But again, like I say, this is the arguments of those who don't control shit, my nigga. Like, you know, $1 million worth of game, they said something funny when they had Cam up there. Only broke people fuss about shit, my nigga. Like, we fussing because we ain't got nothing from we know we created it, and we don't run it, we don't own it, we don't get nothing from creating the shit except the fact of saying we created it. What's that mean, man? To me, I think I would rather say we didn't create it because at least it'll make more sense for us not owning none of it. Even the billion-dollar man, Jay-Z, don't really own shit. You know what I mean? It's sad, man. It's sad, yo.
But at the end of the day, we have to, like, at least get it back. I mean, it's probably impossible. Almost impossible.
This is what I think they're doing, son. Think about it like this, bro. Now, I don't know when rock and roll was created because it was before my time of birth. But we know when hip-hop was created. So now let's look at rock and roll, look at jazz, look at all the other genres we created. And who would they say, like, jazz? Kenny G is probably the biggest jazz musician right now. Kenny G.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, no matter what it was that we created everything. So we don't run shit.
Yeah.
It's like, sure. I just don't understand why we fussing about it, bro. Like, I mean, it's like, what we fussing about now is happening in front of our face. All that other shit happened before. Most of us who crying about hip-hop, we weren't alive. We weren't alive when rock and roll was created. We weren't alive when blues were created. We weren't alive when jazz was created. We was alive when hip-hop was created. That's why we fussing. But, my nigga, in 20 years after we gone, 30 years after we gone, what's going to be the difference? Listen, it's going to be just like every other music genre.
I agree totally with what you're saying, but I would have to disagree just a little bit, and here's why. Because we done gave up on all the other genres that we basically created and basically changed the world with our influence, right? And we have no control of it no more. So now we losing the same thing with hip-hop, if not we already lost it. So at one point, we going to basically take back what was rightfully ours. I mean, we did let it go, but we have to, you know, sometimes it takes a while before people to get it. You know what I mean? Sometimes it may take.
Man,
I'm just saying, we just.
When the monetary system changed, whenever that is, that's when we'll say, bro, like I said, son, let's just keep it real. Let's be all the way real. If they said, okay, blacks, y'all did create hip-hop. We're going to give it to y'all. Y'all did create it. And then let's say, now that we said y'all created it, would y'all be willing to sell that back for a billion. How much? Bro, all they got to do is put a price tag, and we'll get. Bro, we don't care about nothing but the money, man. Like, I mean, it's just like, I understand what you said. I just feel like what we're talking about don't really matter in the grand scheme because, like I said, we created everything. And no matter what we create, if somebody put a price tag on it, we're going to, you know, like they say, everybody got a price. Once the price meets what we're comfortable with, we're going to let it go, man. We're going to let it go. It don't matter what it is. Until the monetary system change and who distributes the money, that's when we'll say to grow. Like, as long as we're getting the money from those who are oppressors, then we're going to do with it. We will always beg for the oppressors. Ain't nobody doing their own shit. Niggas trying to fit in.
So what would be the other alternative then?
I mean, in actuality, bro, like, the reality is we have the ability to make music, and we don't have to be with the labels and their system. We choose to be. But, I mean, like, bro, like, the only real fix is we need our own systems of everything. Everything that we want to do, we would have to make our own systems of distribution, all the things we want to do. We don't have that. That's what I'm just being real. So it's like, we're arguing, but we ain't got no power. Like, just like I said, we're arguing about something that we really ain't got no power in. Just being honest, like I said. And, I mean, again, it makes it, that's what depleted us to this argument. We don't control it. So now the only pride we can hold on to is we created it. But if somebody else controls what you created, what is that to take pride in?
We have to use that instead of just thinking that we own it, that we created it. We have to take that to empower ourselves to come together as a collective to make some changes from the inside. However, that infrastructure is controlled by a group of people, powerful people with a lot of money. We would just have to do our own shit, do this shit ourselves, create our own system ourselves, and keep that presence, you know what I mean, and create from there, create our own shit, put our stamp on it. We created hip-hop, but, you know, create different factions in the midst of it, have our own distribution, have our own... record companies have our own everything that supply and demand control that we have to basically mindset to do that on our own and let them have that and you just let everybody see the difference for themselves, you know what I mean? So I think we can save it.
Only thing I'm saying is like when you say we got to come together. How easy it is for us to come together on anything? Like, as a people, son, we're talking about even hip hop heads. We don't even agree on anything.
We have to keep talking about it though, because
for sure.
I'm with you, nigga. What you saying? I'm with you 1,000%. But that don't mean give the fuck up. It's like, all right, just give up, son, because you ain't gonna do nothing about it. I'm hearing that. I'm not giving up. I'm not gonna give up.
Nah, I ain't saying give up. I ain't saying give up.
You don't have to say it. You don't have to say it. That's almost what it leaves, you know, it leaves room
no.
for me to say that.
I mean, what so, I'm saying is, bro, what we're arguing about is a mute point. Like, you know, like, again, like I said, I mean, see, to me, I believe in this. What is don't got to be said. Bro, I'm going to be real with you. I never questioned, without being from New York, being born and raised in Chicago, I never questioned who created hip-hop. And I'm a rapper myself. I've been doing it since I was in ninth grade. I mean, so what I'm saying, I'm way out of high school. I'm 45 years old. What I'm saying is, son, I never thought this was even a conversation point. Why is it one in 2022?
Can I ask you a question? And you know you're my bro, so I love these conversations. But let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
From your own point of view, what does your culture mean to you, and how important is culture? Just from your own perspective, nothing else.
I mean, from my perspective, culture is important, but, and also my perspective, I would say our culture here is American. I don't feel there is a black culture. I don't think there is a... Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, our culture is all Americanized. Everything is based off colonialism, and that ain't ours. Everything. So it's like, I don't know, when our culture is based around that, I can't identify with whatever culture is ours. So I can't really say we have one. I mean, we have an American culture. I agree. I think that. But I don't know really too much.
No, go ahead. I'm letting you finish.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I don't really know much like a black culture. Like, because what can we say that's black? Because, all right, with Italians, if we say Italians got a culture or Asians, they have a likeness amongst them. Like, I mean, like for us, other than physical appearance, what is it about us that's like, what do we agree on? What are we seeing one on like that? Like, you know, I just don't, like I said, so for me, I don't know what, and I'm being all the way real, I don't know what culture we have, bro. Just being real, yo, like, I don't, personally, and if somebody can tell me one, I like it to be pointed out.
I mean, it's almost the same thing with I'll say this. We have been Americanized through this capitalistic system. We have been prone to violence.
Yeah, I was on a little I'm on this little YouTube show.
All right. Hold on. I'm going to have to mute you real quick because it's kind of throwing me off. That kind of threw me off now. But we do have a culture, and we are people who came from a particular area that was drunk here. Summer's already here. Right, and we have our own innate way of expression, our own way of creating. It's a particular stamp of DNA that we have that our creativeness and our likeness becomes different from the culture that we are forced to adapt to. It's almost like these Caribbeans, they was taken and brought there. So they adapted to that cultural lifestyle and practices because they were once captives. They were enslaved by the Spanish. That is the culture that they adapted, that they hold pride to. In the French, and so forth and so on. And as time progressed, they have created, they sprinkled their own touch to what it was already that they was forced to adjust to. And it came with their own culture. It already gave the definition of a culture. So the definition in itself shows that we do have our own culture. We have a culture within a culture, like what they say, a nation within a nation. So black Americans, I'm just going to say, as much as I agree with a lot with my voice, that everybody has their own thoughts. I can't knock that man for thinking the way he thinks and feel the way he feels. I can't knock that, and I won't knock that. But me personally, we do have culture. We created our own within this system that we had to adjust to, this Americanized, capitalistic, dog-eat-dog, cunning, backstabbing, smile-on-your-face kind of atmosphere. You know, we just stand out. We are the pulse of the fucking planet. What we do, what we make popular, it spreads across the fucking world to all these other people who say they have their own culture and we don't. Why are we influencing you all the way across the motherfucking waters? We are some important fucking people here. We ring bells around the motherfucking globe. Around the globe. The globe. The most prominent, famous, iconic, revolutionary influencers of this fucking century, of this time. They all come from here. I'll leave this.
You on there, my G? Yeah, I mean, that was a little stop I had to make. But, trust me, bro, I agree with what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, if we had to say we had a definable culture, I would like for somebody to tell me. Like, the same way you asked me, I mean, when you say that, like you say, a nation within a nation, but a nation is something. A nation has backing. I'm just saying, like, we use a lot of these words, but in reality, tell me what the culture is. Like, cause I would, like, I'm not even being funny. I would like to know. And I ain't saying our culture is white supremacy. That ain't what I'm saying, man. Like I said, whatever it is that we do, whatever we've created, it's along the lines of colonialism, how it's ran. And if we ain't make that, I mean, how much of our culture, you know what I mean? We ain't living how we made shit, yo. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, I mean, I don't know what culture we got, yo. Like I said, I could just say American culture. And American culture, it ain't no color to that.
All right, so what about Jamaican culture? What about Latin culture?
I don't know that. Jamaica has a land base. They got a land base.
Wait,
they got a land. They got a land mass. That's why I say American.
They was born there too. It wasn't born there. There was other people that was there. They were born there and they mixed with other people that was already there. If you want to say the Taínos and the Spaniards, the original white men, the Spaniards. They are a mixture of that as well. It was owned by the Spanish and controlled by the British until the 1960s. They were colonized. That's how they began to, that's how our music influenced the people in Jamaica. The Bob Marley and the Wailers wanted to be like the fucking Temptations, brother. They was dressing like us before they turned into Rastafarians. Before ska music, they was listening to rhythm and blues, our music. That's how they became to create ska music through the influence. They didn't have no identity yet. Like the lady said,
when they
come from abroad, we go watch them because they have something to teach us. So what you're saying, you can say that about every goddamn body. Exactly. So we all are, conflicted. But what we have in the midst of adapting to this colonialistic system, we created our own out of it. So whatever that is, that's it. Because they don't have the pulse of the motherfucker world like how we do. It's us. That's called culture. And let me say this in closing. Hold up. Let me get that definition again. Culture, the arts and other manifestations of human intellectual achievement regarded collectively. That's culture. We manifested.
No doubt.
And we are the pulse of the fucking planet. I mean the planet. Us.
That's true.
That's unbelievable. Culture coming from what we just indulged from that transatlantic slave trade, or just being here before the slave trade, and what we indulged through slavery, Reconstruction, Jim Crow, civil rights, and right now, we are a miracle. That's culture. Let's get it.
I mean, yeah, like I said, a lot of that I agree with. I'm just saying, like, the reality is, bro. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, I just feel like the whole, like, the way things is or not. And, you know, like, I'll say again, like I said in the beginning, we argue in a moot point, in my opinion. We argue in a moot point. I mean, because, again, like, to me, I think indulging in the argument make us look more stupid. Like, I mean, it's like they say, bro, a person can't say, like, you know, again, if we knew we created it, what's the argument?
Oh,
like,
wow.
For real. Like, I mean, no matter what nobody says, what's the argument, yo? Like, I just don't understand that. Like, you know what? No matter, like, again, that's all I feel. No matter what anybody says about it. Because, like I said, to me, the best argument is both of the cultures that's trying to claim it and say they started, they both have their own language. but yet the culture they trying to claim is not in neither of their language. To me, what are we talking about, yo?
Hey, I feel you, man. Hey, yo, salute to my boy, Mega Bills, man. You know I appreciate you, King. Good.
Yeah, you know that, bro. Yeah, man.
You know I fuck with you, man. Salute to you, King.
All right, bro.
Peace. All right. Look, at the end of the day, I'm not trying to say I'm right. I'm not trying to say he's right. We all have to respect how each other see the world. We all see things from our own perspective. We just got to respect it and respectfully disagree on certain points. That's just what it is. No argument. It is what it is. We just agree to disagree. You know, so at the end of the day, I have to respect where he's coming from. But that don't mean I have to agree in his totality. I agree with some of what he said. And that's my guy. And we should have these discussions so we could come to a more clarity of what we are talking about. You know what I mean? So these conversations is a must-have. You dig what I'm saying? So, but anyway, if y'all having a great time with this conversation, please make sure y'all hit that like button. You know what I mean? And if y'all want to donate to the platform, please make sure y'all show some love to the platform, man. I'm going to play this real quick, right? All right, I played that one. All right, we're going to play some of this real quick, some of the founding fathers, right? And before I press play, I'm going to say, I do want to get Tariq Nasheed on here, but I don't know how hard it is to get him. You know what I mean? But I would like to have him on the show one day, but, you know, however, if it don't happen, you know, I just got to keep doing me at the end of the day. I'm not a chaser, you know what I'm saying? But I would love to see if that can happen, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, y'all can hit him up for me. I hit him up quite a few times. It's like, you know, like I understand people is busy, and I'm pretty busy myself, and I just, you know, and I say this respectfully, but I don't want to say I don't give a fuck because, you know, I could be a dick sometimes too, but I'm not chasing anybody. The respect is still there. I would love to have him on the show. I reached out plenty of times. I don't chase people, family. That's one thing. I'm a grown man, dog. I'm Gucci on that. I'm all right. I go through this shit myself. I don't, you feel me? Hope y'all get it. But I reached out plenty of times, and if I don't have no power but love to, you know, but it don't happen. What the fuck can I do? I ain't chasing nobody. That's just me. I don't do those. I'm good. So with that being said, goddammit, did you check out Jen on the Block with Kane, Kaz, and Crazy Legs? Did you check out? No. Do me a favor. I'm going to put in my email. Oh, shit. Hold on. Put in my email real quick. So you can send it there real quick and I'll check it out. If you can find it, send it right there. All right? So I'm going to highlight it. It's right there. So if you want to send it to me, let me open up my email right now too. So if you want to send it to me right there, I'll be checking my email. All right? If this shit hurry up and load. Anyway, I'll just like to say we have to find a way to keep our culture, find a way to protect it. And we did the same thing with rhythm, blues, things of that nature. And now other people have access to control it. And we did the same with hip-hop. So when we going to take ownership of what we created, you know, and we just been taken advantage of. And like I said, look, we have to protect our own, man. Nobody ain't gonna do it for us. So, you know, that's it. Ashe, you already know. All right, let's keep it moving.
But that I heard a lot of, which you see how relevant it is to the hip-hop generation. They would do this chant, hold your head up high, Panthers walking by. We're going to clean out your ears. We're going to open your eyes. And when in early rapping, you frequently heard it's almost like a mandate that you had to say, dip, dip, dive, go socialize, you clean out your ears, and then you open your eyes. And you know, this is like a Panther chant. Also of interest is that when you say Dibby Dibby Dives, that's also a Louis Armstrong type of stat. So in a way, you're tying in both Malcolm X and Louis Armstrong.
Yes, let's come on the other day if you want to hear a story about that future and the bear. Together around, boys, and no one should have missed none of this year's story, because it goes like this. A future, he went out to hunt. It was on one Sunday morning. So he was not a Christian young man, but he took his son of love. Well, the first thing he shot was a bunch of fine quails, and he shot him a nice fat hair. Then he threw the woods on his way back home, and he got a big
a super humongous giant. And I think, like, I remember, like, a lot of those DJs, they would be advertising their parties on WBLS back then, you know, talking like in the 70s or whatever. And it just was all a part of what made people want to be DJs, have that dude to get on the mic, to really just talk about the DJ. He would maybe say, throw your hands in the air, wave like you just don't care, things like that.
We hooked up with a guy named Casey, Prince of Soul. Casey was a master MC.
First MC I can remember was Casey, Prince of Soul in 70.
Yo,
he was rapping.
Hold on.
1970.
I actually interviewed this girl on a show. Even Tariq Nasheed. Hold on. I got the, what's the name, bro? Hold on. So... oh my God. Hold on. Now we're gonna look at this.
Here's why I threw away all my blood pressure.
Hold on.
Drinking this before bed can lower blood pressure by 2.
Because
I'm going to literally. Thank you for sending me this video. Let's check this out. I actually interviewed this girl before. Right here. So we got Big Daddy Kane, we got Crazy Legs, and Grandmaster Caz. Now, I want to brace myself right now. I don't even know what's going to be said right here. And hopefully, I can't agree here. But... creation versus contributions, there is a big difference. And I just said that earlier in this broadcast. Creation and contributions are two different things. Let's see if niggas is getting paid off to fucking lie. And I'm really looking at Big Daddy Kane and Grandmaster Caz. Grandmaster Caz starting to get his feet wet now. He was on the Origins of Hip Hop on TV1. No, A&E. And now he did a questionable video, like some satanic shit. It was a video, he was a feature on some girl's song. It's like recent, and the shit looks satanic. So I don't know, but let's look at this. I'm very interested now. So again, everybody hit the like, please share and all that shit. All right, let's go. Let me mute my mic. See what the fuck this shit is about.
Rule is take two and pass. Smoking alone, man.
Pass. All right, guys. Wow. I know your time is valuable. Let's get into this. Por favor. I'm going to come straight out the gate with the question. The most important question tonight, I think, is why are we having this conversation? Why are we having this conversation in the year 2022, when whether you call it a genre or a culture, it is literally the fabric of our lives. Hip-hop is in our veins, it is in our hearts. We've always shared it together, Blacks and Puerto Ricans, thick as thieves. Some of us were thieves together, but that's another show, right? So we are always hand in hand. We are family. We are having children together. We are fighting together, loving together, bleeding together.
It's a shut up.
Was the Bronx, New York, the Mecca of amongst us?
Relationships are perfect. But when it comes to the Black and Latino relationship within the New York City tri-state area, it's something different and it's something special. And I think a lot of places outside of our area were more segregated than we were. And we kind of like overcame that a lot sooner than a lot of areas. So in a lot of areas, get information about what's going on, and it's coming from the press, and the press just put it out as only Black, you know, at a certain point. And you know, there were a lot of Latinos who couldn't get record deals because they weren't Black enough, who were MCs and stuff like that. So there's probably like a whole bunch of things, but I think we're really doing this because there are a lot of people out there who want to take ownership of hip hop. But on their mission of ownership, they are kind of being like disrespectful and dismissive and of people who were there. And this isn't about who contributed more. This is my only thing with it. And I put out a video last week and I basically said, hey, we were there. You know, we did this and we did that, blah, blah, blah. I never said, oh, Latinos created this. But then there's the whole idea of like, if someone says, okay, well, if we came after, somebody posed the question today, well, how long did it take to create it before Latinos were brought in? Like, what was it, a month, 2 months? Then we came in on a year. Then they said, okay, everyone can come in now. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Nope.
You know, so I think there's a lot of people who are younger, outsiders, mentally colonized. And trust me, I feel like a lot of them have good intentions, but I think they're not really doing their due diligence in terms of saying, hey, I want to ask Legs what it was like or his experience. I want to ask Joe or Kaz or whoever. And to me, I always like to preface like, yo, you know what? A lot of the old school heads didn't create contemporaneous notes. A lot of us are wrong because some of us were high. So, you know, we don't have a journal or a diary that we can reference because, you know, we wrote it right after the jam. So we're trying to still catch up with ourselves, and that's not our fault, because the one thing that people don't understand is that we were young kids. So when people say, oh, Latinos try to take this over, it's like, you dumbass, I was 10 years old. What am I trying to take over? if you were to look at, if they were to say what they're saying now to us back then, they would be looked upon like asshole adults picking on children. We were children. It's like, what are you saying? Like, shut the fuck up, man.
Kaz, what do you think about why are we having this conversation now in 2022 when it's always been known how hip-hop, you know, began, where it began, who created it? Why do you think we're having this conversation now in 2022?
I think it's because hip-hop has become recognized as the biggest genre of music in the world. I think it's because the milestones that hip-hop artists continue to make, not only in music, but in other forms of entertainment. I think it's because of the notoriety of the culture, the documentation of the culture, and everybody wants their contributions to be recognized. And now we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of hip-hop, and parts of hip-hop are being accepted by corporations. Mainstream America breaking is about to enter into the Olympics now. And that's largely due to the Latino contribution to that particular art form of hip-hop. So I think people are just trying to take ownership of their contributions to hip-hop.
But Joe, what do you think? Why are we having this conversation in 2022?
I'll take it a step further. It's the world we live in today. Excuse my language, this fucking world that we live in today is so divisive, they have nothing else better to do. You know, and, you know, as Kaz says, we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of this culture, and we're on the hit list. We're on the hit list of let's pick and choose, divide, conquer, and all that stuff, but it's almost the world that we live in today of what's going on.
So you're saying basically hip hop has been a casualty of social media wars now.
Of course. Of course.
Hey, warm it up, baby. What you think?
I think that Joe pretty much nailed it. To add on to that, you know, it's the type of thing where back in the days, on a television show or in a magazine interview, someone could say, this is what happened. This is who was there. And people read it and gain knowledge. Now, in this digital era, in this social media era, more people listen to debate instead of learn, you know. Already, people already have, you know, some different objective on their mind while you're talking to debate you on, rather than listen and do some fact checking and see if you're speaking the truth. Me and Crazy Legs just had this conversation, like, what, 20 minutes ago? Talking about Kaz, something that Kaz said on Drink Champs, that I'm sitting here watching, I'm reading 46 people that didn't start listening to hip-hop until, like, the Jay-Z era. Made a kiss era, and trying to tell Kaz that he's wrong about something that he lived through and been there for.
Let me add something to that. I saw a comment today that said, you know, since Kaz was down with all these Boricuas, Kaz is not first generation hip hop. And I'm like,
whoa.
I mean, like, you know, you don't know your history. Before Grandmaster Kaz, it was Casanova Fly. And that preceded, you know, or came before Grandmaster Kaz, what, 5 years, Kaz, at least?
Yeah.
At least? So it's like, how can you even make comments like that?
I tell you what, if you're going to talk about history and documenting history, let's do this. We can go from Ernie P, that's my era, you know, on up to the Jonathan Mannions and all that. But if you want to talk about the origins of hip-hop, where did it start? What did it look like? Any proof that you see, any image that you see came from who?
Crazy Legs.
It came from you, Joe. You're the one that documented Oprah, Furious, Busy B, all of that. You know what I'm saying? That first generation of hip-hop is documented by a Puerto Rican dude. So,
and Jacquet, here's the important part. Somebody, like, people are trying to say, like, oh, well, he was a journalist. Nah. Joe was one of the dudes in the hood. He wasn't...
I get that they're talking about a time where hip-hop was already created, already. There are 8 to 9 years after the fact that it was already done. I really need to see where these dudes is going to go. I'm already disappointed. I'm gonna be honest. I'm already kind of disappointed because niggas is feeling real good to cling on to a culture that they hated on at first. We was the Mr. Cool. We was the cool. Y'all was not fucking with us at first. Y'all came along and ride and rode the wave because you seen what we was doing was cool, fam. And granted, like, the relationship between blacks and Puerto Ricans in New York is totally different from anywhere else. It really is. It's very different. We like, literally grew up like family. Some, not all. So we ain't making this big thing, like, this big utopia. Like, it was all love, and we was all together mixing fried chicken and roasting boils. No, it wasn't like that. But we just adapted to each other more than anywhere else. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to the creation, these people came on later on down the road. Kane came in 88, 89. Cass came in at 76? Something to that effect. But like he said, see, hey, hold on. Let me do this. Hold on. Let me just give you something out of his own words. I'm not playing right now. Hold up. We're gonna go to his own words right now. Hold up. Hold the fuck up. To see, when you're at a certain period in time in life, you want to say some things. You want to say the truth. And again, I didn't really hear all of this yet. I'm just disappointed already. We just gonna go to the horse's mouth. Hold on, I still have everything lined up. Believe me, hold on. I want to make sure y'all hear this out of Grandmaster Cass's mouth. And you can see the difference between what he's going to say now and what has been the truth and what he said himself how many years ago? I don't see the date. Let me see. This is over 7+. I'm looking at the comments so I can see how long, because it don't show the date or when this was posted. But this came out over 7-8 years ago, okay? Let's listen to Grandmaster Cass. Hold on.
That, you know, that white rappers are guests in the house of hip-hop. Wow. Can you see this by the way? No, I don't remember hearing him say that, but it sounds like him. You know, and he's not saying that they're not welcome in the house.
No, but they are guests.
You know, the hip-hop is a black art form, and if you're a white rapper, you are a guest in the house of hip-hop. And this has sparked a lot of back and forth with a lot of different black and white rappers.
Uh-huh.
You know, some who agree, some who disagree, and, you know, it's caused some, you know, Jamar to go back and, you know, address some of these people and so forth. You know, from the world's first rapper, how do you feel about this statement?
I think anybody that got involved into hip-hop later on in the game are guests of hip-hop. And whoever existed, whatever was when it started, that's what hip-hop is. And if you decide to get down with it or become part of it later on, you're a guest. I don't care what color you are. White, black, orange, Latino, it doesn't matter. So Latinos weren't involved in hip-hop directly that much in the early days of hip-hop. They were one or two. My partner,
hold
this
on.
Show is. My first DJ partner in hip-hop.
Hold on. I'm gonna have to remix it a little bit. For those who may not know, I'm pretty sure all of y'all already aware who Grandmaster Cass is. That's him right here in this corner. This is him on Vlad years ago, close to 10 years ago, telling the truth. But we already knew the truth, but this is from the world's first MC. Even though there was MCs before, but known because he was spitting some shit. Like, he was a real dope lyricist. Real dope. And Grandmaster Cass can still out-rap these young niggas to right now. Right now. Right now, Grandmaster Cass is better than a lot of these new niggas today. And that's facts. But let me play it again. I'm going to let him finish this time. Yeah, I'm at. All right.
He used to beat up people in the streets for telling them why you're hanging with them. One or two. Or it's Latino, but it doesn't matter. Latinos weren't involved in hip-hop directly that much in the early days of hip-hop. They were one or two. My partner, Disco Wiz, my first DJ partner in hip-hop, he used to beat up people in the street for telling them, why you hanging with them niggas? Why you hanging with Moreno?
Well, Puerto Rican?
He was Puerto Rican, half Cuban.
Okay.
And we were together every day, like brothers, you know what I mean? Just everything, you know what I mean? And he would always catch flack from Puerto Ricans for being with me, you know what I mean? And he'd knock them the fuck out, you know what I mean? But, so when in like 78, 79, you know, more Latinos started migrating toward hip-hop, you know what I mean? It's like dancing, the B-boys and stuff. They kind of changed the whole fabric of the breakdancing thing as B-boys, but it was a gradual thing as far as Puerto Ricans getting involved with the hip-hop. Puerto Rico was playing phone knives and timbales in the park while we was playing turntables. All right? So they are guests
sure.
in the hip-hop. So would you?
Look, here it is. So I want to know what tune he is going to, what video? You talking about what I just played? I'm just not going to play the video. It's on Vlad TV, Grandmaster Cash on Vlad. I'll give you the title if that's what you're asking. Grandmaster Cash on who's really a guest in hip-hop. That's because of Lil Jamal talking about Eminem as a guest in hip-hop and shit like that. So Grandmaster Cash, that's the first world-renowned hip-hop artist, the first rapper. You know what I mean? Because he was one of the nicest out there. So don't get it twisted. The Cold Crush. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But you heard it. I want to know what he's going to say here. I'm only going to play a little bit. I don't want to play the rest of this shit, man, because this is her stuff. But let's see. Let's see.
So it's like, how?
Matter of fact, I'm sorry. Let me take this call. This call I've been on here for a very long time. Let me get this person out the way. Area code 909. Peace. What's your thoughts so far, please? What's up? You've been holding up for a long time.
How you doing?
So what's up?
Hi, this is Suzette calling from California. And you said you wanted different perspectives. Hey. So, I'm agreeing with everything that you're saying because that's just history. It's facts. And then the thing is that people nowadays only recognize when the actual labels started recognizing hip-hop. And so that's why we're only hearing the names that came later, you know, in the 80s. But, yeah, no, it went back to the 70s, and that's where it started, in the Bronx back then. And it
that's
was,
right.
You know, due to, you know, type of racial segregation as far as the economy was and people, the way they moved and shifted. And so, yeah, that was a big deal, and that's where it started. And then later, you know, 10 years later, it was when it was actually recognized in the music industry from record labels.
Right.
That they started, you know, elevating it, and we started hearing these other MCs come along. But, yeah, so anyway, I follow a little bit along with that, and so.
Hold on.
Go ahead. I was just going to say the Jews found a way to capitalize on the hip-hop music. It was never intended to be corrupted the way it became when it was finally recognized. You know, it was something that was true and real, and they exploited it, you know, and then later artists were exploited in order to create that music. But it wasn't real, you know, because it wasn't about the stories and music that were told, the beats that were created were something that were manufactured and not created by, you know, somebody that brought it out from their soul, from their culture.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Where are you from? Like, what's your background?
I live in California, 909 area, the Inland Empire, i.e. And
I know my
background. I'm American, but I'm Hispanic roots, you know. So, but born here.
Look, I want everybody to don't be afraid of or your. Stand up for your culture, you know what I mean? So it's all good. It's all love. It's just who, you know, it's the creation versus contributor. So, you know what I mean? We all welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the truth alive. You know what I mean? So I definitely appreciate your perspective, and I appreciate you calling in love. Anything else?
No, I just believe that we should keep history, you know, factual and not get clouded by what's being, you know, spread on top of it, you know, by media, because history is important.
Absolutely, love.
Okay.
And hey, thank you,
thank you.
Have a good day. See, that's respectful. See, that's having respect. Why we just can't keep it like that? Why Buster and this nigga have to go? It's really Buster, even though Fat Joe. I'm mad at Fat Joe, but not as much as Busta Rhymes, though. Busta Rhymes is an arrogant guy, very arrogant, animated, and he has, like, really downplayed our culture, and, like, we don't have shit, and that the Jamaicans created hip-hop. Fat Joe just said it was 50-50. He's being inclusive. He's been saying we created. There's a difference, even though he's still wrong with the percentage.
this nigga Busta Rhymes has jumped all the way out the window. And like I said, I swear to God, it's his fault that we have now come to find out, well, at least me, that Black American culture is the foundation of Jamaican culture. That's your fault. I didn't know that history. That's your fault. I always say, thank Trevor for that shit. We created your culture, family, or at least musically, because you were mimicking us. Y'all learned from me. Y'all learned from us, bro. Stop it. Now, that's your fault. That's your fault. Sorry. Our culture is the foundation to yours. You had to find your way off the shoulders of our forefathers in the music industry, family. Y'all worked off our shoulders, family, and y'all put your own little ingredients into the gumbo, which formed what we hear today as reggae music. But we are the main ingredients, baby. You see what I'm saying? Whose fault is that? Nobody gonna want to hear that shit, though. Nobody gonna want to hear it. Blame Trevor for his fuckery. And again, fuck Busta Rhymes. I don't care about that dude. I love the Jamaican culture. Y'all already know that. But fuck Busta Rhymes for his bird ass. And again, your voice sounds fucking horrible anyway. Fuck out of that.
Things like that.
I tell you what. If you're going to talk about history and documenting history, let's do this. We can go from Ernie P., that's my era, you know, on up to the Jonathan Mannions.
Wait, before we continue, why do you think we're having these crazy, long, drawn-out, vitriolic sometimes even debates about who started hip-hop and who was there and who wasn't there?
We live in a world where... Let me shut up. I was gonna say something funny, but no.
Hey, you on the block? You put that.
Everybody's opinionated, and you know, they're like, opinions like assholes. Everybody got one. So I mean, but when it comes to facts, I mean, what are you blind? Facts are facts. Come on. And bottom line is, everybody wants to have something to say.
This nigga, they speaking bad.
They want to like, oh.
Now, I don't want to I'm not trying to be a dick. I don't want to hear all this shit because they speaking about a whole bunch of nothings. Who created it all? They didn't. I don't want to hear all that extra shit. What's the dude that sent me this shit? Who's the dude that sent me this? The guy that sent this to me. Are you in the chat? Because I don't want to watch this whole thing. I want to see what they're going like. What the overall to the topic. Where you at, homie? She's going to press them? That's you, LeBron James. She's going to press them? Let's see, man.
It's Black. This is Puerto Rican. We just did this little project, and the only thing they kept talking about was, we got one Puerto Rican and the rest are Black. Why is that? You know, said it three times. Well, that was one of the routines of Fantastic before Whippin' Doc got down, so we just left it that way. Because one and a half Puerto Ricans and the rest of Black just don't mix.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're from a pendejo.